are listening to the Sermon Podcast from Real Life on the Palouse, reaching the world for Jesus, one person at a time.
My name is Josh Gray. I get the privilege of being the lead servant at this great church called Real Life on the Palouse. I also want to welcome all of those of you joining us online. Thanks for being part of our family as well. We are going to step into a quick, kind of a two-and-a-half-ish week series. You had half-ish of the week last week when we launched our life groups, and I'm pleased to say that we had over 50 people that were going to get connected into life groups, which is really, really awesome, and that's like five new life groups starting at our church, and I know there's many more people that will also want to get connected as well. At our church, our vision, why we exist, why we function, why we have this space, why we have staff, why we have chairs or music or any of the stuff that we do, our function is to reach the world for Jesus one person at a time. And I have great news for you. We baptized somebody between the first and second service, so we have accomplished that for this week with one person. Yeah. We are reaching the world for Jesus one person at a time, and maybe there's a person that's going to be reached in this message and that's going to want to take that step of faith into baptism. And our mission, the way that we do that, is we create biblical disciples in relational environments. And so today, we're going to do a couple pieces of what we call SCMD, and some of you may be familiar with this, and you got to have an acronym. Acronyms make lots of sense. But it's what we observe Jesus doing in the text, what we observe this life is about. And so we're going to talk about sharing and connecting, and next week, Carrie and I are going to be up here. Yes, you'll get the fabulous Carrie Gray as well, and we're going to talk about minister and disciple. Well, people are excited about my wife being up here. Maybe I should just leave. No. We have a method. We have a plan. When we talk about a vision and a mission, we have a plan. Isn't that great that we have a plan on how we're going to accomplish what we're doing? You know that the goal for Sunday is not to gather a crowd, but it's to unleash an army? Guess who the army is? We are. All of us are. And I wonder what kind of spiritual conversations you're going to have this week. I wonder if you're planning on having spiritual conversations. I wonder if you're thinking about how am I going to grow the kingdom of heaven this particular week, and what does God have for me, and who is he going to run me into, and how am I going to share this amazing, amazing gift called Jesus Christ? And what would that look like? I might fumble over myself and mess it up, but maybe I'm one of the 25 people that got to mess it up before we get to somebody that's going to say it correctly. And really, it's not that much about you. It's about the Holy Spirit working within you. And so I would just ask you guys to be bold this week to understand that we're not doing this to gather a crowd. We're doing this to unleash an army, and we are to be unleashed. Yeah. So we're called to follow Jesus. We're called to live his love, the type of love that he showed for us. We're called to grow in him, and we're called to multiply our impact. We are here because someone chose to multiply their impact. They didn't just get their salvation thing and were like, cool, I got it, bye-bye. Like they got it, had been transformed and changed, and then went out and shared it with the world. And so that's what we're all called to do. We'll be back in our study of Matthew in a couple weeks on October 5th. I'm going to cheat and take some things out of Matthew today, but this is just a two-week series, and we're going to dive into this. So there's this personal acceptance and growth in becoming a disciple. Guess what you cannot share? Something you don't have. You have to acquire it. You need to acquire this faith. You need to acquire this development, these new habits, these new truths, these things that are going to change and shape your life. And then out of the overflowing of what God is doing within you, it will pour out onto other people, and you'll be sharing your testimony. You'll be sharing faith. But it starts internal. Think of SCMD as external. It's our external game plan. Share, connect, minister, and disciple. Our internal game plan is in the vomitorium there, if you've seen it. I like saying the word vomitorium. It's so great. And you'll see there's A, B, C, D, and we're not trying to teach you the alphabet. Those acronyms are internal. Have you accepted Christ? Are you belonging into community? Are you contributing in that community? And is that community helping you become a disciple? Because when you're doing that, then you can share what you have been given with others. You can connect others to the community that you belong to. You can minister with other people as you teach them how to contribute into the kingdom. And as you're a disciple, you can disciple others. And so, what would you possibly share with people? Well, you would share the good news of who Jesus is and what he's about. How many people feel like you could share the good news of Jesus? Like, right? And so it's good news that he died on the cross for us and that he rose after the third day and is seated at the right hand of the Father. That's more than good news. That's great news when you understand it, right? But what else is the good news? Is it about something that happened 2,000 years ago, or did you actually have transformation in your life by following Jesus? How are you changed? How are you transformed? Tell me about that. Well, I was transformed because it's not about you. It's about him working through you. Your story is not so much great about you. It's about what God has done through you. And so when you think about sharing, do you share the good news of who he was and what's he about? Do you share your transformed life with others so people can see his transforming power? Josh, I knew you when. I know. It was bad. You're sure different now. I know. I went from me to we. You can share the new truths as he's transforming you. What's changed in your life because of this transformation? How are you viewing the world? You can share new habits because of his love and what you can focus on now. So are you getting new truths and new habits, and are you able to share those? Are we getting ready to unleash the army, or do we get ready to unleash the fans who cheered at the game that aren't playing on the field? No, you're players. You're players in the kingdom of God. You know, I radically changed my life and my family's life and future when I felt his purpose for my life. My future didn't become about me and mine. It became about his purpose and his will. It wasn't about my path and my plan. It was about his path and his plan. Do you wake up in the morning and be like, Lord, what do you want for me today? Go be the kingdom amongst his people. Well, if I talk to somebody at work, I might get fired. Get fired. God will find you another job. Talking about Jesus Christ in a natural environment and sharing your faith is okay. It's really important for them. Well, I might lose my job, or they could go to hell. I think we're in a culture, in a setting where God will help you find a new job if you lose that. But is that things that you hear? So before you can share something, what do you need to do first? You need to acquire it. And one of the things that I was thinking about in this text is I was thinking about a first love. Do you remember your first love? Was it a puppy? Was it a person? What would encapsulate your first love? I love my wife, and I was pursuing her, and that was all great, probably for different motives. One of the things that came out of this pursuit with my awesome wife was my daughter, Tori. I remember being so wrecked by my first love of holding my child. I couldn't believe that she had 10 toes and 10 fingers. I was like, that worked out that way. You know what I really couldn't believe is she had red hair. I was like, Carrie, what's going on here? But I just never thought that I could ever love something that much. And I know I'm doing a poor job of trying to say how God feels about you or how you feel about him. But do you still have your first love for God? Is it something you would do anything to hold on to? Is it something that's moving you, to change you, to motivate you? Because discipleship is rooted in love. Maybe it was an overwhelming sense of awe and joy when you encountered God in a real way. I remember receiving the Lord as my Savior. I remember I was shaking and I was a wreck and snot was coming out of my nose and I was just a mess when I figured out that I could be loved like that. I never felt that love before. There's something about the first love that changes us. It pulls us in. It reorders our priorities. It shapes the way we live, the way we view things. And it's not about rules or obligations. It's about connection and passion. Do you have a connection and a passion for Jesus Christ? Or is it a checkbox hobby, something you do? Yep, I went to church, cool. I went to the crowd, I was part of the crowd. That's not what we're doing here. We want to equip you to unleash you as an army of people to lots of people who don't know Jesus. How many people were at the Cougar game yesterday? 40, 50,000 people were over there, I'm sure. I don't know if it was full or not. But like, not all those people know Jesus. Maybe most of them don't. We have work to do, and God chooses us to do that work. And this is exactly how God wants to start our faith. In our text in Matthew, it says here, Jesus said in Matthew 27, 37 through 40, the Pharisees are coming. They're trying to ask him more questions again. They're like, hey, what's the first and greatest commandment? And what they want to know is love your neighbor as yourself or keep the Sabbath? That's what they want to know. And here's what Jesus says. He says, Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your mind. That's the first thing. Love God. And the second, that's the first and greatest command. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. And all of the law, all of your Old Testament books, all of the prophets, Pharisees, everything that you know hangs on these two commandments, to love God and to love your neighbor as yourself. Discipleship begins with love, not rules, not programs, not even my acronyms. It begins with love. Not just to try harder, but accepting his unconditional love. And when our hearts are fully engaged with God, everything else, our choices, our actions, our habits, how we view the world, naturally flows out of that love. And here's the great part, that love is not meant to stay private. Like, oh, good for you. No, that love now is meant to be transform you, but also be transforming people around you. And so what does it look like to have that love that Jesus talks about, to have that call? What do we need to surrender to have that? You know, think about this. Romans 12:2 says, do not conform to the patterns of this world. I want you to stop and think about that. What are the patterns of this world that you are conforming to? What is God going to put on your heart? What are the patterns of this world that you are conforming to? And yet, you're supposed to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How are you renewing your mind? How are you not being conformed? And how are you renewing your mind? And why would you need to do this? Text says, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. How many people want to know what God's will is for their life? Do you trust him more than you trust yourself? About his plan, his purpose, what it looks like? You know what kind of will he has, it says in the text? His good, pleasing, and perfect will. How would you like to have the perfect will for your life because you surrendered and you submitted to his ways, his truths, his habits, stepping into a life that multiplies his message, not just following Jesus for ourselves, but helping others follow. You see, Jesus just isn't a set of rules or a to-do list. I'm going to say it again. Jesus is not a set of rules or a to-do list. If that's what he's become in your faith, we need to back it up, track it up, and check out what's going on. He is life-changing love. Life-giving. He gives you a life-giving path and a community that you can be a part of. So I'm going to challenge you guys here to evaluate your first love with God. How many of you need to reconnect to that first love that you had with God? And God doesn't ask you to have everything perfect before you have it all figured out. He asks you to lean into his love. He asks you to trust him, to start the journey, and then that love is going to overflow out of you. And that's why daily devotion, what are you devoted to, is pretty critical. That's why worship and studying scripture is really important. You know, when you think about worship, do you know that if you went to our YouTube site, the Real Life YouTube site, there is a link there that has this week's worship set on it. And I listened to that 4 or 5 times before you come here. That's why I sounded so good. I knew the words to the song. I was crushing it. And I would challenge everybody in here to go there. And when you come in, come prepared to worship God. I think it will change your perspective. You're not going to be distracted by whether you know the words or not. I think it'll change your perspective. I think it'll change your week. If you listen to those songs on Tuesday and on Wednesday and on Thursday, if you spent like all that time, like 18, 20 minutes listening to music, I know most of you don't. If you spent that time, it would change your life. So falling in love with God is just the beginning, finding that first love. And when our hearts are rooted in Him, it naturally leads to response to surrender and to have His will be done in your life. Jesus models in the text in the Gospel of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Jesus prays in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's getting ready to face His crucifixion, and He says, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me." That's what He wanted. And then He said, "Yet not as I will, but as you will." How's that working in your life? Is it about God's will or your will? And the Lord's Prayer that we pray says, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Whose will? God's will. So for us to learn to surrender and trust is part of what we will be able to give out when we can share how we surrendered and how we trusted. The Lord sets the stage for receiving His grace. So this next piece about it is this gospel message. Are you going to accept God's love? And then think about the gospel message. And there's some pretty fun things to think about. Romans 3:23 says, "All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." That's all of us in here. Right? We need to go to God for that. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by the works, so no one can boast." It's a gift. Salvation is a free gift to anyone who receives it. And it's the beginning of our journey. If you go to our website, we have a whole thing about what we say about salvation. And understanding that faith is both internal, or inward, and external. It's an inward belief in Jesus, an outward confession of what you need to confess, of what He overcame. It's an inward decision to follow and an outward expression to get baptized, like the folks that got baptized before between our services. Imagine this. Imagine being a prisoner who has been pardoned. The pardon has been signed. The freedom is guaranteed. But until you step out of the cell, guess what? You are still captive. And I wonder in here how many of us have not accepted the pardon. Or we accept certain pardons for certain things, but other things we take back. How many of us are still in a cell? Because you don't accept the pardon that Jesus has given you. He's looking into your face and He's like, "Come on out." And you're like, "I kind of like my cell. I'm pretty used to it." Jesus already paid the price for your freedom. But you have to step out and surrender. You have to be born again to undergo a spiritual rebirth, a new identity. How many of you were changed when you accepted Jesus? Did anybody notice? Are they like, "Whoa, like something's different about you. What is it?" So if you're in here and you're wondering, like, "I don't know if I had that moment," maybe this is your moment. Maybe today after service, you're going to be the one getting baptized. Maybe you're going to confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart what He did on the cross and that He died and rose again and you will be saved. Maybe you're going to start your journey today. I pray that you would. But I've been given opportunity to step in and out of my pardons. And I don't know why I grab things back from Jesus that I gave to Him already. Like, I gave that to you, and then I'm walking around with it again. I'm like, "Why am I carrying this again?" He's like, "Why'd you take it back?" I don't know. When we learn about sharing and connecting, what are we sharing with people? We're sharing new truths and new habits. And discipleship doesn't stop at surrender. Once we receive Jesus, we experience new life, and the next step is learning to live it out daily, where new truths and new habits come in. Are you done having new truths and new habits because you've been a Christian for 20 years? That's not good. God's sharing things all the time. I'll share with you some of my new truths and new habits. The Lord got my attention with my health, with my lack of caring for myself. And he got my attention with my new health and my health, and I started walking. I started walking a lot, and I set my Apple Watch to burn 1,000 calories every day, which is a lot if you're just walking, by the way. It takes me 65 to 90 minutes to burn 1,000 calories a day, and I have to have exercise. And one of my new habits that I have now is I walk through my neighborhood. And so I'm walking through my neighborhood, and I'm the crazy guy now. I'm the crazy old guy now. I'm walking through my neighborhood, and this week when I walk through my neighborhood, I listen to the book of Acts, I listen to the book of Romans, and I listen to part of Corinthians. And so I'm just going around, I'm listening to it, and I'm being floored by how Paul was so engaged, how Paul knew his purpose and his plan. Paul's going to Lystra, he's going to these places, he's preaching God, the gospel, he's sharing new truths with the Jews, he's sharing these things, and he's preaching all these things, and then they stone him, they get mad at him for doing that, they chase him, they stone him, which means that they bind you up, and they take a big rock, and they try and crack your head with it from about 10, 15 feet up, and they stone him, and they think he's dead. And so then they go back into their place, and then he gets up, and he's like, oh, yeah, where was I? I was preaching over here. Okay, walks right back in there. Like, I might have fixed my face. But, like, as you're thinking, as you're experiencing God, are you sharing the new truths in your life? I walk around my neighborhood like a crazy guy praying over all my neighbors. I'm like, I'm praying over Sarah and Tom and baby Owen. And I'm walking around. I'm singing beautifully with my AirPods. 100 billion. When I die, just in case everybody doesn't know, when I die, I want the song played at my funeral, and so will I. The 100 billion, 100 billion galaxies are formed at the vapor of your breath. There we go. I'm saying, and I'm like raising my hands, and I'm like, the people are like, what is this guy doing? And I'm just like walking through my neighborhood. I'm crushing it. But these new habits and these new truths, like, what is it doing? Sure, I'm having a physical transformation, but I'm having a spiritual transformation. Your pastor is having a spiritual transformation. How about you? What is God calling you to? What are we sharing? What are we doing here? Are we just trying to build a crowded room of people? Are we equipping an army to go out and have spiritual conversations out in the kingdom of God this next week? That's what I want to be a part of. It wasn't in my notes. See, following Jesus means embracing these new ways of thinking and living. Because once you embrace them, then you have something to share. And then when you start embracing these new ways of living and thinking, and you start connecting people in community, when you actually accept Jesus and you belong to a community, well, then you can connect people to that community that you belong to. Don't connect them to a community you don't belong to. How do you know if it's any good? How do you know if they're making disciples? Be a disciple. Make disciples. So these daily devotions of prayer, and I'm doing that too. I'm praying for you guys. I'll be walking through my neighborhood, and I'm just like, bang. Willie, praying for Willie right now. God will just put people on my head, and I'll start praying for him. What are your habits? We talked about getting into a small group last week, getting into community, finding your one. Think about this phrase, finding your one. How many people want mentorship in their life? Like, you go to school, you go to college, you're getting mentorship for some of you in here, our young folks. Like, you're learning for that, right? Like, how helpful is it to have a mentor? Do they have counselors still? Do they have people that are trying to help you walk that path so you don't spend an extra $40,000 on taking stuff you're not supposed to take? Right? Wow, that would be so weird if we did that spiritually, huh? Who in your life are you being mentored by? How about those folks in here who are more mature Christians? Who are you mentoring? There's people looking. You guys notice that our body is pretty diverse? We're not just the cool hipster young church, and we're not the old church either. God is mixing us together for a specific purpose. So who is your one, and who... And so who's helping you, and who are you helping? Who are you linked arms with? Think of a young basketball player with raw talent. And on their own, they might be good, but it's not until they train with a coach and a team that their skill truly begins to develop. Small groups are your faith training team. They help you practice your faith, sharpen your understanding, and encourage you when the journey feels difficult. So if you're not in a small group yet, now is the perfect time. It's where these habits happen. Remember, these habits aren't just for you. They prepare you to help others grow. That's what you're sharing. That's what you're connecting people to. Small groups are your practice field for multiplying the kingdom of God. Amen? But even with community and mentorship, we can't live this out in our own strength. And that's why Jesus promised us a helper. You need a special connection. And it's a gift that, for many of us, we leave untouched or we don't access it very often. Are you guys familiar with AI? Artificial intelligence, right? I use AI for different things, for help. Are you guys familiar with HSI? It's better than AI. It's Holy Spirit intelligence. Do you know that you have access to the Holy Spirit? You don't even need Google for it. Once you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, he gave you a gift. It's a gift. He's like, here you go. I was accessing the HSI this morning when I was sitting in my office looking at my sermon. I was like, Lord, what do you want? I mean, I talked to him before about that. But I was like, but hey, over the weekend, since I wasn't paying attention, is there anything else you want to add? What do you want for your people, God? What do you want them to know? What do you want? What do you want? How can what some words that could come out of my mouth that could transform somebody's life? You say them, Lord. No, don't let me screw it up. He said, I'm not here to, Josh, you're not here to create a crowd. You're here to equip an army. You're here to encourage these folks to God and have spiritual conversations this week. To be bold, to take a swing. To be transformed, to be changed. So the HSI, the Holy Spirit intelligence, I coined that. Jesus talks about this in John 14. Let's look at John 14 about this gift that he gives us. John 14, 15. If you love me, keep my commands. Which ones were those? Oh yeah, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. That's the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. Those are two of the commands. He gives us more commands, but keep those ones. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. That's all. Just forever. Just when you first accept the Lord and you're 20 years old, and when you're on your deathbed and you're 90 years old, the Holy Spirit is with you. Are you accessing the HSI? How often do you access the Holy Spirit? You look at your questions on we don't even have softball questions in our notes today. You look at those questions our life groups are going to be going through. You're like, buckle up. We got a life group that's going to rock and roll. We're going to get deep, and we're going to dive in, and we're going to learn more about each other. How do you interact with the Holy Spirit? And I will ask the Father, and he will give you an advocate to help you and be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him or knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. Jesus says, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come for you. So here's what this Holy Spirit does, the HSI does. It guides us into truth. How great is it that it can guide us into truth? You know what most of our folks want? And I was shocked when we did our faith, gender, and sexuality sermon series. You know what people want to hear? The truth. You know what our young folks want to hear? The truth. They want to be pandered to. Like, treat them like, treat us like we're intelligent adults because we are. What's the truth? HSI gives you the truth. Holy Spirit. Intelligence. It teaches us and gives us obedience. It strengthens us daily. Are you asking for the Holy Spirit to strengthen you every day? Are you feeding yourself, army of God? Are you ready? And the Spirit is not just an influence, not just a force like gravity or electricity. He is a person to be known, to be loved, and that can be relied upon. Think about sailing. You can have the best boat, the strongest ropes, the perfect sail, but without wind, you are going nowhere. Without the Holy Spirit, you are going nowhere. The Holy Spirit is like the wind in our sails. It doesn't just point us in the right direction. It supplies the very power to move us forward. We can hoist our sail of faith, and the Spirit fills us and carries us to where God is leading. My sailing friend. Which leads us to our final point, is to think about the idea of multiplying life. The Spirit empowers us not just to live as disciples, but also to multiply disciples, to bear witness and equip each other. So from new life and multiplying, the share, connect, minister, and disciple part of this, to our own personal acceptance and growth, and being disciples and accepting and belonging and contributing, then the multiplying effect explodes. That's why we're here. So here's what it means. It means we share the good news. It means we connect others into the community that we're connected into. It means that we minister with our gifts. Do you guys know that you have gifts that God has gifted you with that I do not have? You have relationships. You have gifts. You can unleash those gifts. You should ask the Holy Spirit what gifts that he has put into you and how you are to use them in his kingdom. You sitting here right here today, you have something special. And then we disciple others towards maturity. Finishing up here, finding your one means one person to disciple you, and one person you disciple. That's the next step. And that's how the gospel moves from a me to a we. In review, love God first. Go back and find your first love. If you have not found your first love, I would like to introduce you to him. His name is Jesus Christ. And you will be loved like you've never been loved before. If that love has faded, which I know that mine has faded at different times in my life, and I have to rekindle it, and you know what helps me rekindle it? Spending time in his word, getting the HSI going, having you guys call me out on things and talk to me about it, having community around, and sometimes you guys get that fire going and I'm back on fire. I'm fire. Is that a good term? It's fire. That's fire. Kehlani's laughing at me so hard up front here. She's just like, dude, you don't even know how to use that term. Be on fire for God. Receive the gospel. Embrace these new rhythms. Walk by the Spirit and multiply your faith. So for some of you today, today is your first step. You need to surrender. You need to receive the salvation of God. For others, you need to reroute your first love. For others, you need to begin some new rhythms. The rhythms you're in are either you've gotten off of, or they've gotten old, or you're just doing it to check a box. Don't do that. Do that to be developed, to be transformed. And for many of you today, it's to take your next step. It's to find your one. You gotta be bold. You might get rejected. You might be like, I can't. I'm not your one. That's okay. Find somebody who you can mentor you, and find somebody that you can mentor. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for this time as we're trying to explain how we do what we do, and that you have called us to not just build an audience or to build a church, but to unleash an army out in the Palouse. And this is an awesome army that you have here, Lord. Very gifted people, very talented people. And so, Lord, I ask you to just make things new in their lives. That the Holy Spirit of intelligence would fall upon everyone in here. That you're guiding their path. You would help us come back to you as a first love. That we'd be bold. Bold enough to share what you've done in our lives, the good and the bad, the transparency, Lord. Be able to help people learn from things that you've helped us learn from. We would not keep things just hidden and keep this light you've given us under a can. We would throw the can off and we would help other people, Lord, shine their light well. So help us, Lord, share your amazing word and your amazing power well. Help us connect people, not to just ourselves, but to you, Father God. Let us introduce them to you and to the Holy Spirit and be transformed and have their life changed forever, beyond our short time here on earth, but forever in eternity with you. And so, Father, I just thank you for this time as we learn more about sharing and connecting and being on mission with you. We love you. Amen. Jesus was on mission with us. He wants us to remind us. We take communion every week at our church. So if you did not grab communion, if you're new here and I see different new faces, it's okay. If you didn't grab communion, Ron will come down there. You can raise your hand. We'll give you a communion cup. We like to end our services coming to the table of God, coming to the calling that he has placed on all of our hearts. And so join with me as we do this. The Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he given thanks, he's thanking God for this. He's thanking what he has. He broke it and he said to his disciples, looking at them in their faces, he said, "This is my body. It is for you." He did the ultimate act of sharing. He shared his very self. He said, "It's for you. Do this in remembrance of me, Lord. We remember how you shared." In the same way, after supper, he took a cup and he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you are proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes again." Lord, we proclaim that you are coming again, and we love you for doing that. Thank you. Thanks again, Father, for this time. Thank you for the great worship that we've had. Transform us. We want to be launched out into your kingdom. We want to come back and celebrate and be launched out again. I ask you to have anointed spiritual conversations set up for everyone in here, Lord. They would be moved either today at this very moment, or they'd be moved by the Holy Spirit this week, the HSI. And we love you. Amen.
Thanks for checking out this message from Real Life. You can find out more about us by visiting liferotp.com and connecting with us on Facebook and Instagram. Until next time, have a great week.